Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, Taggets, you got a combine or a tractor that needs serviced? Check out Complete Ag Resolutions. Today's episode is brought to you in part, as always, by Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions.
Do it.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah?
We're on Stitcher. Take a picture. TagCast and the Zappa TagCast.
Listen on Stitcher, it lasts longer.
Yeah, it'll have you in Stitchers.
And now it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you. Jerk off.
See, because I paid a link for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Woo! Hello and welcome to the TagCast episode 16 of season 2. I am one of your hosts, Indian Gatch.
And I'm White Terry. Speaking of white crackers, 16 saltines going on in the background.
White crackers.
And Jack White crackers.
And Jack White, man. I think I just figured put the universe together is what that feels like.
Right there. Jack White, crackers, and dogs barking.
Speaking of white, I just got a text from Sound Dude Jeff, and he's out at the country club chasing little white balls.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What has white balls? White dudes.
White dudes.
I saw Jeff over the weekend at the Sunday night there at the Yob Show.
He sent us a picture of there's a fountain in the middle of the water hole, man. That's a high-class golf course right there.
He's chasing white balls in a fountain.
Country club, yeah.
Wow. So is that out in North Albany?
I don't know. I don't know where that country club is. I've never seen a fountain in North Albany.
Well, there's that country club out there.
Yeah, perhaps.
And I don't know. Most people from that area are kind of rich. Isn't that the richest part of town, North Albany?
Yeah, I think everybody out there is named Rich.
Buddy Rich was from there, I think. One of the finest jazz drummers from Albany ever.
Yeah, in fact, he was.
Hey, happy hump day, all you taggots.
Hump it up.
I hope you get some humping in today.
Hell yeah.
Hope you guys had a nice
noontime
couple of first
humping.
Days. Noontime?
Yep, noontime humping. Get it over with so you can listen to the TagCast.
Afternoon delight, they call that.
I wonder if anybody has ever humped while listening to our show.
Hey, and if you haven't, you should try it sometimes. It could be very embarrassing or annoying, or it might just be awkward.
Put it on the big stereo and like sit on one of the subwoofers while we're talking.
We'll go, ooh. We'll be like, wow, how did he do that? I didn't know your leg could bend that way. That's weird. And something smells funny. So definitely if you're going to have sex during it, listen to episode 216.
Yeah.
Because that's when we're talking about it.
Hey, we're now on Stitcher.
Hey. Yeah, so if you got any cuts or abrasions, stitch them up.
Stitch it up.
Or if you need to do some sewing, say you ripped your jacket, just go to Stitcher and listen to the TagCast podcast. You could tag it up.
Yeah.
Tag it. Patch it up.
We should get some patches. Should we get some TagCast podcast patches?
That's hard to say.
It is.
TagCast podcast patches.
Patches.
Patches. That reminds me of that karaoke host. Remember him? From Corvallis?
Patches?
It was in the the days back when Sullen was playing over at the
first
Top
time.
Of the Cock.
Oh, Top of the Cock,
in Corvallis and that other place. Shit, it's escaping me.
Platinum?
Rod Black. Yeah, yeah. And Patches was that crazy older. Well, he probably wasn't much older than
I
ever
met him.
Us. He was crazy.
Was he crazy?
Yeah, he's crazy looking, and he acted crazy.
Was he running sound at the Top of the Cock?
He might have a few times.
All right.
He was running the cock.
Huh.
In the Patches.
That reminds me, Dan Kroll going to coal some roosters tonight.
He's going to coal them?
Yep, and I was
what's
like, what's... That's what I said. I said, what's that mean? Is that like saying kill with an accent?
Are you talking...
I'm going to kill them.
Are you talking C-U-L-L, coal?
Or? Yeah, C-U-L-L, which he said
means
to kill, and I'm like, well, what's the origin of that word? Yeah,
I guess that's when you're using it in that aspect, because I've used the word coal and cold, which is the...
Well, that just
future
means
tense. You've culled them. But,
oh,
like,
I thought you meant like, I need a blanket, I'm cold.
No, I'm cold.
Uh-huh.
I ain't scared, but I'm cold. But cold to me, like picked from and pulled from, like, what did I read it in a magazine and used it myself as a song on a greatest hits album that was cold from their original debut release. It was killed. You killed it. No.
Maybe
we could look up the
more like,
definition of coal.
I'm thinking like a gathered in a farmer's sense to where you could coal some, you know, berries or...
Yeah. Harvesting of some
you
sorts.
You could coal some... And so I figured it was he uses a scythe.
I don't care what you coal it.
He uses a scythe to cut off their heads.
A scythe.
Is that what it's
a
called?
Scythe is a Star Wars thing, isn't it? Revenge
that
of the
right,
Sith.
That's right, but I'm thinking
S-C-Y-T-H-E. The T-H-E is silent.
What? A silent the?
Yeah.
The is silent?
Yeah, the is
the
silent.
The is
they just call it the sigh.
So that's
got
to be the longest word because it's six letters, but only you really only need two.
And really?
You just
is there an E at the end?
You just need the S-Y.
Scythe.
You just need the S-Y.
It's a weird word that the vowel comes at the end only.
Yeah.
Unless you sometimes
Y. Sometimes Y. Which in that sense is the I. But yeah, you only need two letters.
Yeah.
What do we got going on?
I was just looking for my tasty beverage.
Oh, tasty beverage.
It's warm out, you guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not super hot like it has been, but it's nice, what do you call it, fall time sunny weather. So
well, it's getting to be like fall.
Get yourself a nice tasty beverage.
But our summer was so short, so I'm kind of like... a month in, you shouldn't have that, man, summer's already almost over kind of thing, you know?
I'm hoping for some dust and summer, a dusty summer.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any prairie dogs in a while.
Oh, good. I thought yours got out and ran away.
No. I did hear about the poop noodle, though.
What's that?
That's where you're like... butt fucking a chick, and then you pull out, and then you like squeeze the noodle out of your urethra.
Uh huh.
That's the poop noodle.
Wow. It's a little bro.
I heard it called a poopy worm, too.
Good thing we got our shit talking out of the way before tomorrow's guest comes on. Or wait, Friday's guest. No talking shit on Friday, by the way, folks.
Nope.
So
I might not even.
I don't think I have any shit talking subjects this week.
I don't. That was all mine was.
Because last week was a shitty week.
Poop worm.
We had a lot of shit talking last week.
Yeah.
That guy was smearing shit on people and dog shit and pushing Elton's stool in and all that.
Yeah.
But let's see. We haven't. Well, you guys know how it goes. Some of you real people out there know how our schedule goes. But Monday, we didn't get to talk about the weekend properly.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't really.
We talked about it, but it was in a previous tense. Like we were kind of projecting what might have happened. Yeah. So Friday, we played up in Portland at the Red Room. And we hit some traffic going up there. Cause
sickness in September, is that what it is?
Yeah, we were supposed to be there at 2:30 or something. Uh-huh. So we left at like before 1. And figured if we got there at 3, it's usually an hour and a half drive, but we hit some traffic on I-205, stop and go, and then so we were going to be late, and then thought we'd be there at 3:05, we're supposed to go on at 3:30, Phil was in traffic too. Then when he gets there, he finds out that a couple bands had canceled, so they'd moved the start time back a little, or forward, whichever way you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
So it ended up we didn't go on until 5.
I did. I saw your post on Facebook, and I set my clocks 2 hours ahead.
Oh,
and
good.
Then I was late on Monday.
You were on Red Room time.
Thank you very much.
Living on Red Room time. You can blame it on me. But yeah, so
I
we got there.
It on the rain.
And one band played before us. Let's see if I can remember them. I think they were called Zodiac. And we'd actually played with them before. And they said that they just wanted to get free tickets to the show is why they played. Even though they had to play it at 3:30 in the afternoon. And then after us, then there were some more cancellations during our set. And they asked us if we could play a little longer. And mm-hmm. we had already pulled out everything that we had on the table. And we're just planning on doing our last two songs. So we did that. And then it was weird. We met this band from Atlanta, Georgia, who was there, and a band from Tennessee. And they had hooked up with a band from Montana who wasn't even on the gig, but they just happened to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they picked up a set, and they played right after us, and they gave us some merch. We gave them a little piece of weed, and they gave us some stickers. They're called Fallen as Babylon, or Fallen nice. Is Babylon. They were pretty good, but the singer was barefoot and wore pajama bottoms, and then...
Is that a thing? Is that...
I guess
the stage gear?
I guess. And then the other guitar player had flip-flops with socks on.
What kind of pajama bottoms are they printed?
Like plaid ones.
Oh, plaid ones. That's what I imagined. Or, like, printed.
Yeah, and they all had strategically placed metal shirts. You know, they didn't. You know what I mean? Like, one had a Cannibal Corpse shirt on, one had, like, a Necrophagist shirt on, mm-hmm. and one had, I don't know, they all just had their metal shirts on. But they're all right. They'd go into a jazzy bit every once in a while, and then, like, some funk.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of reminded me of like a death metal version of a 30-pound test because they switched it up so much. And they were good. Yeah. They were younger kids, and they were good. And then we kind of had a sick kid at home, and plus it was just I knew it was going to be a long weekend. So we watched mm-hmm. like two bands, and then we took off about 5:30 or 6. I guess we didn't get done till 5:30. I guess we took off about 6:30.
Did you offer, because what I always think is if somebody asks you for extra time, maybe you do the same set, but you play it like twice as fast.
Yeah, or half as fast.
Or half as fast, whichever.
Or just do one song half as fast, and that's mm-hmm. like an extra 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's like, an extra two songs.
We're going to turn this into a doom.
Well, sometimes you hear bands, you know, if they know that they got a really strong song, and, you know, if they got... If they got a crowd up at the front, you know... They'll play it at the beginning of and end of a set. Mm-hmm. I've heard people do that.
And cover bands, sometimes, if they do four sets, sometimes we'll play the same song
mm-hmm.
in the first set. Or even repeat a full set.
Yeah.
If people are like, come on, we weren't here when you guys played, and
we're
here
that's
now.
That's what I was going to say is, especially in a bar-type crowd, you know.
Yeah.
Either people that were there when you played the first set are too far drunk to really care.
Or not even there yet.
Or they're not there yet, They're still putting lipstick and...
Yeah. I was kind of surprised. Saturday night, the Bone Jars played a private party just for 2 hours, and it was our
How'd
first...
How'd that go?
It went good. It was our first gig since February 9th, so
It's
been quite some time. And unfortunately, we had not ever even been in the same room together since then. I'd seen Steve, Steve had seen Jake, and I'd seen Jake. But none of us had been in the... So needless to say, we hadn't practiced. But we just
I kind of went back to February, too, because my phone got reset.
Oh, weird.
You ever happen to have that where you have to, like, scale back your phone to a previous update?
No, I've only done that with my computer. Like a restore.
Yeah. It just
restore
wouldn't shut off or nothing, and then it put a computer on the screen, so I had to plug it in and...
Weird.
It rolled. I mean, I'm talking like...
So you lost all your texts and all that stuff?
I lost all my texts. And so the texts that were fresh in February were like the top ones there.
Oh, from...
And then...
You thought
like,
you're in a time warp?
Yeah. And then every app I've downloaded since then.
Gone.
Gay.
And I think even like contacts that I may have saved since then.
Might be gone.
Or numbers changed.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
You know, it happens.
Yeah,
I was like kind of, at least I scale back on the apps.
Yeah. Well, your phone's cleaner now.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I haven't even had it a year, so I got a whole nother year on this contract if I have to hold on to that phone.
I'm about
to
get a new one, but I don't really even want to because I'm just so pissed at Verizon because they just charge too much, and I'm kind of, I don't know, everybody does. It doesn't matter where you go, you're going to pay about the same
amount. Verizon's going to have the best coverage. They just do.
And it's not even that good sometimes. But
yeah.
But anyway, I was kind of surprised. That's okay. A little tangent there.
Yep.
Well, we weren't in tangent, though. We were in Crabtree.
Hey-oh!
And so we got together, and it was kind of cool. The reason that got me on this subject perfect is talking about people asking to play one more or play another set. Come on. We just gotta
play it again.
Nobody said a word. We actually went over to like 9:09. We were supposed to play.
Ooh, you should have went one more.
Well, we're going to go one after 9:09, but we hadn't played that song in like 2 years. So no, so we get done and everybody's like, they didn't say, come on. They just said, oh, man, I wish I would have got here earlier so we could have heard more. But you guys were awesome and whatever. And they had some food. And there's a guy named Bob. It was his birthday. And I think I'd met him once at the Dixie, an older dude. He might have been 55 or 60. I don't think he listens, so if I overestimate on his age, he won't know. And I can also tell the story. He'd been telling me about this guitar that he had. It was like a generic version of one of those Gibson with the F-holes.
A Korg.
The big ones.
Okay.
Fatty guitars. Like it's an
E5-150. Like a hollow body?
E3150 or something like that. Yeah. And
isn't that like John Lennon used to play, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so I can't even remember the name of the brand because it was so odd and I'd never heard it. But he goes, man, you just got to check out this guitar. It just plays like butter and it's the intonation, blah, blah, blah. So we go in there. We go in his house. It's a pretty nice house out there in the country. And he goes, excuse the mess. This is just my jam room, you know. I just got some stuff cluttered all around. We open the
door. Bacon on the floor.
Open the door, dude, and it just smells like a grow room of some of the best medicine I've ever smelled. Like, and I kind of looked at Bob, thinking that he might be my new best friend. But he didn't say a word about it. He just started looking around because he had a couple guitars and a drum set in there. Where did I put that thing? Oh, here it is. And then I played it a little bit, and I was elephant in the room. I didn't say nothing, and I'm just playing. That's a nice guitar. And so we're standing there talking, and he's talking about jamming with Jake back in the day and this and that. Mm-hmm. We're in there for about 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, this chick comes in, and she's like, buck, 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 buck. No, it was a girl. This girl comes in, and she's like, oh, Bob, I'm so sorry. And he's like, what? She's like, I didn't think you were going to be coming back in here anytime soon. And then she reaches around behind this thing on the counter and pulls her pipe out. And she's like, I came in here and smoked a bowl. And, God, didn't you guys smell it? And I was like, I smelled it. I thought Bob was my new best friend. And he kind of chuckled. I go, I didn't know if he smoked, though, so I wasn't going to ask him. I thought maybe he had a grow room right there behind that closet door. And they all busted up. And she's like, I just apologize because that's rude to go into someone's house and do that. She goes, but I didn't think you were going to go. He goes, I don't care if you do it. Just don't do it around the kids. And she goes, that's why I came in here. And it's all good. And then I was like, oh, it's good with me. I smoke. And she's like, oh, I wish I had some more. But it was just kind of funny. And then he's like, I just thought that there was a skunk under the house. Because he's kind of a country older dude. He's got a little bit of a tangent accent, Crabtree accent.
We have had some plastic recently at our shop, and I went into the saw shop today.
Smelled like weed?
Yeah. And I was like, whoa.
Who's smoking?
Yeah, because, I mean, it shouldn't, you know. And so I walked back out.
You got to go to the compressor room for that.
I walked back out to the main shop, and then walked back, and then it was, and then Brian came up behind me. He's like, did you just open up your container? And I was like, no.
Yeah, I opened up a can of whoop ass.
Yeah, and yeah, it was a plastic, but I was all accusing Dale. I was like, what are you doing out here?
He's like, I'm just cutting plastic.
Yep. I'm just cutting plastic and cheese.
That's some skunky fart plastic.
Yeah. Was this party like, I worked a party one time as a blackjack dealer at like a function at a country club.
Wow.
And I couldn't touch the food. It was one of those.
Oh, no.
Don't touch the food.
This was like, have whatever you want.
Yeah, it was like salmon and caviar on top, though.
Oh, no, this was burgers and dogs and like some beans and some good dips and chips and some just potato salad, just good barbecue food. And then they had like coolers and coolers of water and soda and beer and, you know, they had to have whatever you want. And Chris came out there, the sound guy from the Dixie. He was Jake's little roadie.
Oh, right on.
Helped him set up the PA and stuff. So it was a good time. We played two sets, probably plowed through about 22, 23 songs, and had a good time. I had one funny, you know, you always get a funny compliment from drunk people once in a while, where you're wondering, that's kind of a burn lament, which is a compliment and a burn at the same time. He's like, hey, man, first it was, you guys are pretty good, and then it was, your vocals are awesome. You're a really good singer. And I was like, thanks, thank you. And then, of course, the ego in me is like, I sing like shit. I play the guitar better. But then we had some kids came up that was like, man, you were rocking on the guitar. We were clear down across the field down by the river, and we could hear it echoing all through the valley. Like, they were stoked about that because there was little kids there, and there was probably about 40 people at the party, and they had a huge burn, like a fire pit that was made out of stone. Like, it was probably 10 or 12 feet across, big old fire pit. It was good times, and we got out of there early by, like, 9:30, so I was home early enough to...
Is that in the Valley of Sickness?
In the Valley of Crabs.
Valley of Crabs. Is there any crabs in Crabtree?
I saw a lady that looked like she might have some on her person.
Yeah, well.
But I shouldn't say that because that's mean. She just looked promiscuous and dirty.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to mention any names. But then it got home early enough to where I could get a little bit of sleep and try to... get ready for my big Sunday, which I tried to get out. I did get out there to the, and I was wanting to ask you how did it go after I had to prematurely bail on the recording session.
It went really good. We decided to take it like a track by track thing.
Right on.
Which we did three songs, I think. You know, we'd lay down a basic beat with the egg shaker and then a drum. And then we one at a time, we'd just go in there and lay down a drum track over it. Or, you know, I'd go in there with an egg because you can kind of, you know, go to a mic on the off and off side of the drum and not really get bleed over too much. And so
you played some Dr. Pepper bottle.
I played some 1 liter Juggalo, which I thought about playing it.
You should have been a Faygo bottle.
I was thinking about playing it later on because I drank some and it would have a totally different sound for a different tune. But we did like three like that, maybe four or five. Drum tracks on each one. That
you
was
get
it.
Different filled bottles and
or I could just drink really fast between the notes and then spit it back in there to refill it to go to a higher note again. And then we jammed out about four songs like in the last hour or so.
Sweet.
I was just like, let's get in there and let's just jam something for 3 or 4 minutes. And so we did a few of those, and this Saturday going to have a few people.
Yeah, I'm going to get back out there. I had
go
to
go out there and relay some tracks over the top of that and see how it turns out.
And I remember from previous experiences at Vermin that usually start time is 12, but then it takes a good 45 minutes or an hour to get the mic set up, and I was hoping that they might have it set up before I take off, but I did have to go down and jam with people.
Yeah, it was right about the time.
And I do that sometimes, man. I just get fucking spaced out and forget. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And then I'll go, wait.
Of course. I mean, you know, we had that set time. And that's came up since then, you know.
Yeah.
But the pajama people thing, that's awesome, dude.
It was
How
fun.
Did that go?
I had a good time with those guys. It was just the two of them, the married couple, Glenn and Ollie.
Uh-huh.
And they were super nice, super cool people. And I found out some more stuff that will be interesting. Not to skip over the story. I guess I'll just hit it real quick. We ran through about 14 songs. I played everything from memory, just from cramming from a week and a half, and so I did get a message back yesterday saying that they were impressed with my ability to play from memory, and then he had some suggestions for my picking styles, saying that I should maybe do more back picking instead of all downstrokes to make it a little smoother, and I said I really appreciate any constructive criticism because I haven't never played this music on bass before, and I'm just trying to learn as fast as I can. So the chemistry was there as far as I'm concerned. I hope you guys are listening, Glenn and Allie. Thanks for Ollie.
I saw
we talked about you for a bit because I told him I came from the session.
And
I mentioned one of my friends who is an Indian is making a, and I kind of described the project, and he's like, oh, Gatch.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that more people than I think know of us because of the podcast or know things that I don't think they would know. And so he thought that was cool. But here,
postings on Facebook.
Here's what kind of this came later when he was we talked about stand-up and how he used to do stand-up back in the day. And I told you about him knowing Paul Tompkins. Did I tell you that? Paul F. Tompkins.
I think you did mention
that. Yeah, he was the open mic host back when he was doing open mics in Philly. And so I think he saw our page or your page of Bring Paul F. Tompkins to Eugene. He messaged me back. I'm going to dig up some tapes of me and Paul F. Tompkins riffing from back in 1989.
Oh, wow.
And he won a contest back in the day in 1989 in Philly. Glenn did an amateur comedy contest and got to do some stuff with Paul F. Tompkins. And so,
you know, what would be great is if we could have
pajama
both those
people.
Guys know if we could have Glenn and Paul on the show.
I've been trying to talk Glenn into coming out and doing open mics to get back into it.
And if those two wanted to be on the show and we could play the tapes and they could have some laughs and discuss their things.
Yeah, hey, if you're listening, Glenn, I don't know if you're ever in touch with Paul anymore, but we are trying to bring him to town. I think you know that. But
Paul does the thing to where if you get 300 people.
A lot of artists, yeah.
To like a page, and we got like 7 on that one, I think.
I think
4.
It was the Faster Pussycat was another deal like that, where the promoter said, if you get enough likes.
Randy White.
Yeah.
And
more white crackers.
And, I also made a page for Mudhoney to come to Eugene. I'd actually reached out to the booker of Mudhoney, and they turned me down because they didn't want the door deal. I don't know if we talked about that last
time. You sent me a message saying that their guarantee was like $3,500.
Well, they didn't really have a guarantee. The guy said that they usually make 3 to 5 a show, and all I could really offer was a door because I'm not going to put up not going to say I can guarantee you this much and then...
I'm not sure as far as the demographic
of
Eugene.
They just don't dig... door deals, probably, you know. I mean, even if it's 100% or whatever, it's a risk.
That's like a quad deal, D deal. Yeah. They don't dig door deals.
Don't dig door deals.
Mudhoney, don't dig door deals. But, you know, you could understand, you know, they're old.
Oh, for sure,
they're
man.
Seasoned,
totally,
they've been around.
Yeah.
And it would be awesome to be able to say, well, hey, there's no way that you wouldn't sell 300 tickets, and if we charge 15 or 12 in advance, that would be plenty.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if there's that big of a fan base.
I don't
of
know.
Mudhoney,
well, that's why I put up the page, too, is because I wanted to see, you know, I mean.
Because they're one of those kind of closet bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't know that
some
someone's a Mudhoney
fan. Some places are really big, and some places, you know, they're, I guess, maybe underground for the community. I don't know. It seems like.
I know there's one guy in Eugene that really likes Mudhoney a lot that would go. His name is Pat Wambacher.
Oh,
I don't know if you know him, but he's a big Mudhoney
and
fan.
He's not on Facebook.
No, and he's not on the internet either because he's too busy working. He worked all weekend. He worked Friday and Saturday and probably Monday through Friday or Saturday and Sunday. He had to work Sunday, too. And so then I was going to borrow his bass because I thought maybe my BC Rich Warlock was a little too metal for Frank Zappa. But I just put on some new strings. So I just brought my BC Rich and I metaled him out. But, no, I think it went well as far as the Zappa thing. They said we're going to keep the channels open. The ball is totally in the other bass player's court, whether he wants to move up here or not from North Carolina. And I said, totally, no expectations. I go, we might not even click. We might play, and we might hate each other. But I think we clicked really well, and the lady was saying that she enjoyed the fact that I was singing while we were playing because I know the songs so well that I'm just kind of singing while I play. And... they were messing up. They were messing up as well, which made me feel. And I told them, "Thank you. I'm glad you guys are making mistakes too, because now I didn't know what their level of expectancy was going to be if they were like Frank Zappa and oh, you missed a note.
Well, obviously,
next.
Obviously, I mean, from you know, just knowing and what you've been talking about that you've been putting in a lot of work.
Oh yeah,
on the songs, and I think that's. You know, that and the ability to play the songs.
And the fact that I learned 14 of them. And he's like, I can't believe that you're remembering all these parts. And there were parts that I didn't remember or whatever. But there's also the fact that, you know, I didn't know if their current bass player that was from Portland had moved. But apparently he did move to Texas. So they're kind of bass playerless. And I go, and I also don't know how many people you guys would have approaching you that have the ability... and the love and passion of Frank Zappa's music, which is a big... They don't just want someone who can play it. They want someone who knows it and loves it and is doing it for the music.
That sings along because they can't help it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I go, there might not be a lot of people that fit the criteria of being that good of a bass player that can read music and can have a vast knowledge of Frank Zappa. And it helps to have knowledge of just stories because he's had some great stories for me that we'll probably get into on the Zappa Tag Cast, which we'd like to mention that we had to change the name. We didn't have to, but we decided to.
Yes.
How do you say it?
Ambiguously? No, that's a gay duo.
Amiable.
Amicably.
That took a little while.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's the other Zappa cast. And,
yeah, they have been around for at least a year longer than us. And we did not know.
And they have a little bit more credentials than us, but that doesn't make them any better than us or any worse.
They touch on different things. They touch on the bootlegs and do interviews with, like, Dweezil.
And actual Denny Wally and other members of the band. So that's pretty cool, which we would like to do sometime. And maybe after we finish our chronological endeavor of covering every Zappa album, which could
take a while.
So maybe we'll have bonusodes if we get a chance to, maybe, you know, if I get in with Glenn good enough, and maybe we do some comedy or end up being more than just musical companions and end up being friends, maybe
the
Glenn
Pajama
will come on
the People podcast.
Yeah, the Pajama People dudes could come on there and tell us some stories of because he got to talking about, he mentioned the fact of that post after I saw Pajama People and Ike Willis was walking to his motel room with his guitar strapped on his back, and I was like, man, how many? Nobody even knows who that is. They're driving down 7th, and they, as much as they think he's a homeless black guy who's probably got a cardboard sign in his backpack, but it's fucking Ike Willis.
Yeah.
And Glenn said, I read that post, and it kind of made me step back and say, you know what? I'm kind of taking it for granted of how fucking lucky I am to be able to play with Ike. And then he goes,
do you think that, though, that there should be background music playing as he walks down 7th Street?
There should
be. No one knows.
Yeah, and it would be like the instrumental part from Outside Now or something, with the weird Frank Zappa solo.
Oh, yeah.
But,
perfect, man.
And then he said,
somebody
I got to thinking.
Somebody needs to shoot that video and make a documentary of Ike Willis, and that'll be how it starts.
For sure, walking down the streets of Eugene. Yes. And then Glenn said he got to thinking about how many, because someone asked him, how many Zappa alumni have you got the opportunity to play with on stage? And he said after he counted, there was 14.
Wow.
In different aspects. And he said, I can point at any one band from the first album to the last album, and there's someone from each group that he's played with. So that's a fucking great accomplishment.
Is that some sort of like Triple Crown or something?
Something. You know, he's played with people from the Freak Out album.
Yep.
He's played with people from the very last 88 tour, which he told me some stories that I'm probably not able to share, just about some of the stuff that was going on, because he said kind of off the record. And it's just nice to be able to find other people who have that passion and love Frank Zappa, and you can just mention stuff and they instantly go into a thing about it or whatever. So I think that was a big part of a possibility of me, you know, having a future with those guys somewhat at least. And he said if it didn't work out for long-term purposes, he would love to have me guest with them, like on a couple songs. And
that'd be cool.
He said that's how he got into his first band with them. It was called Project, it's hard to say, Project Object. Nice. I always want to say Project Object, but it's Object. Anyway, that's a Zappa tribute band that he played with first.
Yeah, but everybody should go over to the to zappacast.com, listen to all our podcasts, and then click the one to theirs as well and listen to their stuff. Cause
I think we got at least a couple hours worth of episodes.
Yeah.
Six episodes plus the bonus episode.
Yeah, and, you know, check them both out, because they're both, if you're enjoying Zappa for sure, both are going to be great.
And we've had pretty good success with downloads and whatnot. Like I think you said you forgot to actually post it or promote
it on the website, and it still had over 100 downloads.
Yeah,
so that's
before
fantastic news.
Yeah, before we even got it up there. So, yes. And like what I was talking before, get off the Pajama People, but that was a good time this weekend. After that, I went down to Eugene and watched Yaba Norska. And I hope to pick up a Norska album on vinyl, but they had sold every copy that they had while
that's
on the
crazy,
road, which
man.
Sucks
How
for
did
me.
They have?
I don't know.
1 million.
No, over 100. There was only 500 pressed, and they tried to get some more when they were on the road because of where they were at the time was close to the factory or whatever.
Yeah.
They were back east somewhere.
Tried to do one of those kind of a
just ship us something to the next town that we're going to be in, but it didn't work out. So if you're wanting to get it, Jim encouraged me personally to go to Brutal Panda Records and get it soon because it might be selling out and they might not repress it. Because they really specialize in limited edition runs.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's awesome, too, though, limited edition runs.
And you could tell those boys have been on the road for 15, 16 days because they fucking killed. They nailed their set really well. And Dirt Clawed Fight was awesome. I hadn't seen those guys in about 12 years, and I don't really remember exactly what they were like when I saw them back in the day because I think it was just once.
Uh-huh.
But they were good. The guy had a voice that didn't really fit his look.
Mm-hmm.
He had one of those really high screaming voices, kind of like Kevin Ass.
Yeah.
Like so high, I can't even emulate it. But yeah, and then got started a little later than they wanted to. But Yob still played at least an hour, but it was only four songs because their songs, they played a 24-minute song, which was I hadn't seen him play since 2006 at the Samurai Duck. The Mental Tyrant, the final song off of The Unreal Never Lived. It was a real treat to see that.
Nice.
And he thought people were going to leave. He's like, this song takes a lot of patience. It's really slow and long and drawn out. Hope you guys make it through. If not, thanks for coming. Like people were going to leave during the song.
Yeah, well,
nobody did.
Okay.
Dude, it was Sunday night at midnight, and there was 100 people standing in there, standing. You know,
wow.
So it was good. It was a good
That's
show.
Awesome.
Yep, and I got to see our missing cohort, Jeff Simpson, who will be returning to the fold soon, I believe. He was down there, and we hung out a bit.
Right on. You like Iron Maiden?
Party! I do like Iron Maiden. I like Iron Maiden.
Right on. I kind of, you know, I mean, Iron Maiden, this isn't really an excuse, but it was a little bit before my time.
Yeah.
You know, their heyday, I think, was mm-hmm. probably... You know,
I remember
seeing their seventh son of a seventh son really heavily being marketed. You know, I remember the poster. I probably even had the poster without even really owning the album. But, yeah, you know, I mean, fucking great tunes and stuff. But there's a tribute band up in Portland. They're going to come down to the Wow Hall.
Yep.
And rock that place.
Yeah, with Sick Man also.
Yeah.
So it'd be like seeing Iron Maiden and Alice in Chains together.
Yeah, yeah. A six-piece Alice in Chains, right?
Yeah.
And then you got... they got an Eddie, too.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it. It was like at least 10, 12 feet tall.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And did you make the connection with their name, Maiden Northwest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they had an album, you know, Maiden Japan.
Yeah, Maiden Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, being before your time, it was kind of perfect for me, and I'm surprised I'm not more of a Maiden fan, but
uh-huh.
I think because of the rock and stuff that I like and the extreme death metal, they're kind of like right in the middle where mm-hmm. they didn't get a lot of attention. But for my age sake, say I was 12 years old when mm-hmm. the first Iron Maiden album came out, and then I was like 15 or 14 when Number of the Beast came out. So that's just like...
That's the wheelhouse.
That's perfect.
As they call...
That's what I'd call it, but I've never heard that.
Yeah. And so when did that come out?
82.
So I was like, yeah, six.
Yeah.
So and that probably...
Little,
that would
six. Six.
Six.
You were 666. You should have loved that song.
I know, man.
And maybe your mom should have got that for your birthday.
Six.
Say,
six. And yeah, then I would probably would have said I'm six for the next 12 years.
I'm six.
Six.
I'm six. I'm six.
I'm six.
When I'm 18, I'm 666.
What was that? What's that Saturday Night Live that reminds me of some Saturday? I'm
50.
That's it. I'm 50.
That reminded me of when we were talking about celebrity birthdays last week, and Sherry O'Terry
uh-huh.
is 50.
Yeah.
And I was telling Dana that, my wife, and I said, check this out. Celebrity birthdays, how old do you think Sherry O'Terry is? And she said, 50. Just without even thinking.
Wow.
I said, what? I thought she was like 40 or maybe.
Did you play the whole what theme right afterwards?
Yeah, just in my head, though. She couldn't hear it. Her ears, her ears weren't close enough to my ears. But I was like, what? What? What?
What? What? What? What?
Yeah, what? And so I was like, yeah, well, now she should do that skit from Saturday Night Live. I'm 50.
Yes, she should.
And I could kick and pose and kick. I wonder how.
She just spent a whole year of doing a tour of that lady.
Yeah.
She should have.
Speaking of tours, did you see what I posted on Facebook yesterday?
No.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Trailer Park Boys are coming back to Portland.
I saw that, a Christmas show.
Dear Santa Claus, go fuck yourself tour. With Randy and Leahy. And it's going to be at the, what's it called? The Newmark Theater, I think.
I have no idea where that is
it's
or what that is.
It's the Portland Center for Performing Arts.
Okay. You know, it's crazy, though.
I'm going to go.
A tangent here.
We'll get an interview with Bubbles.
Think of Bubbles.
Bubbles.
All right. Think of kittens.
Kittens.
Think of Christmas.
I love kittens and Santa hats.
That's right, dude. That is right. What is better for a marketing duo than Bubbles and cats and Santa hats?
Well,
and
I like cats.
Dude,
I like
yeah.
cats and I like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Because Christmas ain't about fucking presents. It's about family and smoking dope.
And
kitten, getting high with your family.
And cats and Santa hats.
When cats are eating garbage juice and they're sick because fucking Losco's got his hot dogs out in the fucking...
Yeah. People can go to catsinsantahats.com and
yeah.
check out what that's all about.
And I didn't even make the connection until now. So Bubbles loves kitties.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have a spinoff of the book called Kitties in Santa Hats.
Maybe. I might have to do, I'm going to have to go dogs, but I know there's a dogs and clogs.
Ooh.
Maybe I could go goats and coats.
Wow. Wowie wow. Wow.
What about pterodactyls and sandals?
That doesn't rhyme.
Wow.
How about, let me say dogs and clogs, goats and coats. How about, animals and granimals?
That would be great.
Yeah, they could just wear the tough skin granimals.
They would have like the red and dark blue.
And the alligator.
Heavy, thick striped.
Well, they'd have to wear whatever animal
shirt,
they are.
Right?
Like the animal, the gator would have to wear the green ones that have the alligator.
I thought they all had alligators on them.
Granimal? No, maybe they do. It's been since I was a small child, so I don't remember.
Yeah. I didn't realize even in my later years, in my teens when I wore them.
Yeah.
No, that there was a color coding system, right?
Yeah, and you could match
so you
up.
Could,
yeah, so you could have the green
stripe.
So you
could get
shirt.
All Vidal Sassoon.
So your fucking drug-addled alcoholic mom could sleep in while you chose clothes that fucking matched.
Yeah.
She's like, just match up the elephant with the elephant and you'll be cool.
I guess I've never understood why you should really care.
If you match
or not.
Man, some mostly chicks, but some people really get freaked out about
Oh, yeah,
matching.
Yeah.
Like my wife, for one, like she'll see a girl walking down the street and I don't notice because the chick had a gray shirt.
Name, like what doesn't go together.
She had a gray shirt and gray pants. She's like, oh my God. And I was like, what? And she's like, do you see those different shades of gray? So if they're not the same 50 shades, there's 50 shades of gray.
Yeah. What if you wore gray and white though? Isn't that like two different shades of gray? Kind of.
That's two different, totally different colors.
Or like almost.
I don't know how
what
things
about,
go
like,
together.
What if you got a black shirt, but it's kind of faded because you've had a long time and you washed it, so it's kind of gray, getting gray, and then you got like gray shorts on, or maybe you know you've worn them for a couple of days, but you've been sitting on benches, you know, at the baseball games.
Yeah, and maybe because of sports teams, some colors are just in our brain to go together, gold and purple.
Yeah.
Did that go together? But isn't that some sports colors, like the Lakers or someone, gold and purple?
Yeah, there's a few different sports teams, I imagine, like
that's
in
pretty
crazy.
College. Yeah, I don't know how you tell what matches. I guess I don't have that good of a fashion sense.
There's a college called Albany.
Is it Albany or Albany?
I'm not sure, but it's back east. I'm not sure. I would imagine
Albany,
maybe
New York.
In New York. But their mascot looks like Scooby-Doo. I don't know what they're called.
Really?
But I always call them the Albany Scooby-Doos.
Right on.
Somebody should send us an email at contact@tagcastpodcast.com. Tell us what the mascot of Albany College is. And we'll send you an email back.
Yeah, and that's all you get.
And maybe something else if you respond to that email.
Hey, here's a question for you. Do you know what happened 40 years ago yesterday?
Oh, I know this one.
It was do you want a hint? Or it's not an incident or a thing. It was a release, a musical album.
How many years ago again?
40 years ago yesterday.
40 years, so we're talking about 1972.
Yep.
We're talking about heading into autumn.
And I'm talking hard rock.
1972.
Pioneer.
All right, we're going to go with 1972. Is it a person or
it's a
group?
It's a group with a name.
Okay, we're going to go Led Zeppelin.
That's close, but Black Sabbath Volume 4
Bam.
Was released yesterday.
That's not on that album, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is?
NIB.
Damn it, I should have went totally the opposite.
And it's got Snowblind, and it's got...
Supernaut?
Yes. And Changes. So that's why I want
to
talk, because...
I was just talking to Don about that.
Favorite tracks, memories, thoughts on the album. And I know that one of them for you is, why is Changes on there? And why is it...
Well, I think it could be...
At the end of the CD would be good, maybe.
B-side on a single.
Why does it have to be just sandwiched between two just totally awesome rockin' songs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, like, throw that intro, because there's, like, a solo intro going into it, right?
Piano.
Yeah. Da, da. Yeah. Da, 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 yeah. Da, da. They have to build up from how rocking that album was going. They had to completely like build around to go to some piano piece.
It was probably Ozzy's idea. He's Ozzy. He does what he wants.
He does.
I'm talking like Ringo Starr now.
Nobody wants a burrito. I always. It was funny, Randy White. We were talking about him earlier of Randy White Entertainment.
No relation
to posted,
Jack.
He posted a picture of Ozzy's sisters, three of them, all like in gowns and dressed for the.
Do they look like
for
him?
For the things and
was
what
it
I,
Joan?
They did kind of look like him.
Joan Osborne.
And what Joan Osborne? I think she might be the niece.
What is?
But what I told him was, I bet those three don't want a burrito.
No burrito. I don't want a burrito. Hey, speaking of Black Sabbath and burritos, we should probably get to what's in Hans' CD player, because I know Hans likes both of those things.
I'm going
to
take a guess.
Do it. The dude, you can.
Okay. I'm just
going to
guess.
Off the
I'm going to go for
charts.
An artist.
They're off the charts.
I'm
going to
go for an artist.
I don't even know what this first one is.
Dead Milkmen.
Wow. Nope. I've heard of the name of this band, but
I
don't. Cocteau Twins.
Cocteau?
Yeah, that's when your penis is the size of a big toe or a little toe. No, it's spelled C-O-C-T-E-A-U, Cocteau Twins.
Oh, okay. You know, I see what you're saying. I know who.
Not,
who
it's not three about. Words. It's
they
two.
Had a hit, didn't they?
I believe so. I don't know, but he's listening to the album Victoria Land.
Oh man.
Victoria Land by Cocteau. You know, he's listening to Ass Fix and Cocteau. Dude, next he'll be, I'm listening to Ass Suck, which is an actual band that he used to like. I have an Ass Suck tape.
I'm looking up Cocteau.
So we're going to have to research, and while Dustin's looking up Cocteau Twins, it'll probably come up as some kind of a porn fetish where you put your cock and your toe in a pair of twins that are...
I got a story that fits perfectly with that.
With Cocteau?
With what you're talking about right there.
So you want to do that before you look up your...
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
All Cocteau. Right, so... There was a website, cowboys.com.
Cocteau.
You figure somebody had to get that early way back in the day, right?
For the football team?
No, this was to cowboys.com. This was not anything to do with the Dallas Cowboys.
Was it supposed to be just for some country bumpkins?
Somebody just, you know, you just go and buy a domain and then, you know, you have it.
Yeah.
You know, and so they went to sell it and somebody in the Dallas Cowboys
wanted it.
Administration bid on it, but they thought that it was $275, not $275,000.
Whoa.
So they failed to pay the winning bid, and so somebody came in and swooped it.
For how much?
I think they paid more than that for it.
Oh.
And so now it sat for like a few years, you know. And
now the Dallas Cowboys want it?
No. Oh. And now cowboys.com. Which, you know, if you wanted to check out Dallas Cowboys, you might go to cowboys.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a gay dating site.
Awesome. That helps.
Yeah.
yeah, like I went to...
Which does not help their quarterback Tony Romo's reputation.
No,
probably.
Not at all. And that similar thing happened to me when I went home after the show on Sunday to look for Norska's album. And I went to... Or no, I posted a link to it. And I just put brutalpanda.com.
Oh,
that's something weird too. I'm not sure what it was, but it's brutalpandarecords.com. So don't forget the records, or you'll go somewhere where you probably want to erase from your history. I don't know who wants to brutalize a panda and put it on the internet, but
late one night I was medicated and bought, just because I was giggling and laughing my ass off, I bought the website MrCrappyPants.com.
Awesome. Does anyone have any interest in it?
Well, later on I realized, well, I probably should do something with it if I want to keep it or whatever. Yeah. And you know, I don't know, it's kind of a hoarding thing maybe. But
you're a website
hoarder. So I thought, well, maybe I could like redirect people affiliate wise to like poopy panties or something, you know. I was just whatever, you know, I mean, it'd be perfect for that, right? And so I like looked it up and I like hit a site and then I saw, you know, like I had to shut it down, man. It's like some things you just can't unsee, dude.
Cocteau.
Cocteau.
So while he's looking up Cocteau Twins and you guys think about what we just said, I'll tell you what's on my turntable.
All right.
I got the split 12-inch of Caius and Queens of the Stone Age, and that's when Caius was going away and Queens of the Stone Age was coming in.
Fatso Forgot So, right?
Yes, and it's got Into the Void, which is a Sabbath cover, and it has Fatso Forgot So to Flip the Phase, and then it has Spiders and Vinegaroons, which, do you know what a vinegaroon is?
It's where vinegar comes from.
No, it's like a really, really big, weird, like, spider. That's bigger than a spider.
And it's made of vinegar?
It's called a vinegaroon.
Oh, that's weird.
And it's from the desert, so you know that the Caius people are into it. But anyway, it's a short album. It's a good one. It's just called Caius, Queens of the Stone Age, which is kind of confusing to some people because they are like, well, which band is it? It's both. So that's what I was listening to at my house, and we're trying to figure out what these Cocteau Twins are all about.
Yeah. I think Adrian told me what was in his yin-yang.
Oh, yeah, and then we got to get to what's in your junk drawer, too. And then we'll hit some birthdays real quick.
Crap. Now I'm overloaded.
You got crap in your junk drawer?
I'm overloaded. Song to the Siren. Is that what it was? What did it with the Rise to Fame?
Cocteau?
They did.
Hans, call us, you fucker.
Know. What is this crapola?
We're not going to be having practice for a while.
Might as well face it, you're
a dick in the mud.
Fuck it, who cares?
And when he sent me the message of what was in his CD player, he said he signed it Resident Troll from Misery Mace, over and out.
Misery Mace? Is that
it's
you
like
guys
a sorrow sword.
Song?
Grief Hammer, Sorrow Sword, Misery Mace. Angry Axe, just songs that have. So anyway, yeah, he's not finding any Cocteau Twins information. So Hans, tell us what happens when a Cocteau goes in a twin. I saw that show about that two-headed girl with a. She just turned 18.
Yeah.
So now she can legally take a cock and a toe.
That's crazy.
I'm just kidding. That is. I shouldn't joke about that.
But imagine what it would. I mean.
Oh, it showed her like surfing or skiing or wakeboarding or something, and like I read about her, and like one brain controls the right side of her body, and the one brain controls the other, so they really have to work together.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd have to talk.
I heard one wants to be a pilot, and the other one's scared of heights, but the other one doesn't care.
One loves anal, the other one hates it.
Yep. Yeah. It's like
is weird because it's the same hole.
Yeah, but you just gotta really squeeze over to the one side.
You know what? I wonder if one of them can go to sleep while the other one's still awake.
That's a legitimate question.
Would your brain go to sleep while your other brain was awake and your body might be active?
A separate brain, so I guess you would probably operate different in the brain, right?
I guess we could test it by, like, when someone's sleeping by moving their body parts around like they were doing normal activities and if they woke up. I'd probably wake up if someone was moving my arms and stuff around. Or if someone was sticking a dick up my ass, I'd probably wake up.
You know what's weird? You know, when I wonder if you slapped one of them, if the other side would slap you, or if they wouldn't even care because they didn't feel it. Or if they'd have to try
I think they'd both
they would
feel
have,
it.
They'd have to slap you on the others, you know, from
they'd
the
probably
other side.
Like, oh, cymbal crash you. Like, one hand a piece of like,
wrestling.
Here we go. They're like, one, two, three.
Yep. We're into wrestling talk again.
Yeah. Chris Jericho was just recently up in Portland on Sunday at the Rock Fest with his band Fozzy.
Wow.
I mean, metal band. Wow. You know those guys?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, he's still buffed.
I haven't played him.
But he's metal. Hey, speaking
of... But he has nothing to do with that show Jericho, though, right?
I don't think so. I don't think that's a good show.
All right.
But I don't know because I've never watched it. Before we run out of time here, I want to get to the quick amount of celebrity birthdays.
All right,
compared
to I got Adrian Bacon's yin yang.
Okay.
Today is Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones movies. Is in his yin yang.
I wouldn't let someone that old in my yin yang. He might
good
have.
Good luck, Adrian.
Yep, good Bacon. Luck. I heard he has a small penis, so you're lucky today. Anyway, here's someone who doesn't have a small penis. It's his birthday today. Brian Ferry, and he's not gay. Do you know who Brian Ferry is?
Wishing well, kissing her. Is that the guy?
I don't think so. Wasn't that Terrence Trent D'Arby? No, but anyway, Brian Ferry was the singer from Roxy Music, and they did Love Is the Drug.
If for me.
And no relation to Push Your Stool in Elton, Olivia Newton Toilet. Olivia Newton Toilet today.
That should be a band.
She it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Olivia Newton Toilet. She was born in 1948, so that makes her, what, 64?
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to...
Brian Ferry?
Love is the drug.
I'm looking for...
You know, that's an interesting song. I never really knew who sang it.
I sang it at karaoke before.
But that's, you know, I mean, it's a song that they play on the radio and stuff and kind of gets in there.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of, like, too. When you got the, when you can interplay the words love and drug, like, I want a new drug.
I want a new
love, or might as well face it, you're addicted
dicks
to
in
drugs.
The
and dicks in the mud. That's yeah. funny, too.
That shit knocked my dick in the dirt.
Yeah, and you know they got the both in there though. What is it?
Or if you really
love
like
is the drug, or drug is the love, or drug is the drug, the love drug.
Or if you really like that stoner comic, you could be addicted to Doug. You might as well face it, you're addicted to Doug.
I saw there was a kid the other day wearing a Cheech and Chong shirt. Just had like a, it was a shirt with. A posterized image, you know, where it's all black,
yeah.
silhouetted.
Uh-huh.
Cheech and Chong. Now, here's a trivia quiz. You didn't see this guy, right?
I didn't.
All right. And you don't know him.
I don't?
No, you don't know him. Right? Okay.
I'm at a loss right now.
Okay. So what I'm going to ask you, do you think he smokes weed?
The Cheech and Chong shirt wearing guy?
Yeah.
I would be confident. To place a bet of at least $100 that he does.
There you go. I would think so too.
Just
I would
because,
not take a bet against it.
Yeah, but some your odds would be low, and there are some people that just want to. Oh, they're funny, but I don't smoke marijuana. But boy, those guys are funny. Doubt that there's a lot of those, but maybe one out of 100
uh-huh.
or out of 1,000. Okay, final celebrity birthday. Kind of a cool chick that ended up in some cool roles and married a cool dude named Rob Zombie, Sherry Moon Zombie. She is 2 years. She's 2 years younger than me, so she's 42 today. 42.
She is hot.
She is pretty hot, and I love her character, Baby, and the way she talks all, like, mm-hmm. stupidly. And then she gets all yeah. evil all of a sudden with her stupid little sarcastic voice.
Oh, she's
and
hot.
She's just like, ugh.
She wears some hot clothes, and she has her own clothing company.
Yeah.
Called?
Moon Unit? No.
Skull. Zombie Skulls.
Zombie Skulls.
Scumpin'.
Scumpin'. Hey, if you know what Sherry Moon Zombie's clothing line is, email it to us, and you'll win a free email back.
Yeah, we'll email you back.
With no information.
Yeah. I might even email you. I got some things I could probably
we'll email you,
you a coupon or something.
I will email.
A coupon for something.
I'll email you an attachment.
I will get you a coupon on a calendar with Terry's cats on.
My wife is sick. My kid is sick. You offer me coupon?
Coupon.
What kind of fucking shit is this?
Coupon.
I've been sick. I'm fucking shitting and puking out my asshole.
Coupon.
You order me coupon?
Here's a coupon.
I fucking bomb your place, man.
Is that from Hardcore Pawn?
Jerky Boys.
It could be from Hardcore Pawn, though.
I fucking kill you.
You ever watch that show?
No, I only get to watch that other Pawn, Shador.
Pawn Stars?
Yeah.
That one's boring, though. There's never any drama.
But I don't watch much of it.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're just totally different shows. It's funny that the ones on True TV are total, you know, about showing. And because it's all editing how you do, because their cameras in there, what, probably 12 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah.
They just send camera crews over there, and they're just paying camera crews to record them mm-hmm. probably their entire day.
Seems like once every week I see some new fucking show that's not new, but it's new to me that just blows me away. Like
yeah.
my daughter, our daughter, was watching that Honey Boo Boo show.
I see Honey Boo Boo everywhere, and I have no idea what the fuck it is. What's
it's a
going
kid
on it?
From one of those little fucking kid pageant, you know, like Toddlers and Tiaras.
Like,
so she
no,
was so
like
awesome
John
on Bonnet Toddlers.
Ramsey or whatever?
Yeah,
John
it's
Bonnet
like
Ramsey?
John Bonnet Ramsey got her own show
okay.
called Honey Boo Boo. Mm-hmm. And she talks like she's from Georgia, because I think that's where she's from when she's
How
like 5 years old
five?
Or something like that. And she just, my uncle's gay. That means he don't go with girls. He likes guys. And so we call him a fruitcake because he's got some fruit in his tank. He's got some grapes in his tank. And I was just like, this is a fire.
Is this on MTV?
It's on TLC or...
Oh, wow.
Fucking...
That's the one with the...
it might be...
With the short people show, too?
Probably.
The short people show.
I hate all of them.
The TLC, that's the one where they had the John and Kate plus 1.8 million Octomoms, right?
Yeah. Octodogs. I think they could probably get their own show. The Octodogs. That could be a cartoon, actually. And it could have, like, hot dogs that have legs like a wiener dog, but then they have an eight-headed, like, an octopus dog.
You think anybody's ever Octodogged their cack?
Oh!
Because people are into mutilation.
Wow!
They slice it in half, right?
Just slice it like a pizza.
Like one of those apple core things.
More for everybody.
Dude, that almost sounded like Mitch Hedberg. Dude, I saw a picture of Mitch Hedberg, Doug Stanhope, and Andy Andrist.
Yeah.
What's going on with Andy Andrist?
He's going to be coming on our show, and if you want to hear about that, it's going to be on the plug section. But I think we're at about an hour, so we should probably be wrapping up. Don't forget that we are available now for listening to on Stitcher, as well as iTunes, and... the regular old tagcastpodcast.com. So if you don't already listen, go to if you're a Stitcher listener and you prefer that, go there.
And somebody write us an email and tell us what the website iPoon is doing. I'm interested
iPoon?
To know what iPoon is going, what that has going on.
I don't think they have an iPoon
yet. iPoons.
iPoon.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good note to end on for Hump Day is iPoons.
Poon.
Is that like Poontang?
Yeah, iPoon. So you figure it's like, it's got to be like RedTube or something, right?
It's a pussy app.
iPoon.
That's only when they come out. I heard that the new iPhone.
What about iPoon?
I heard that the iPhone 5, you can like set it on your counter and it projects a film on your fucking wall.
Wow.
So let's go spend $800.
What if the movie is of me, of iPoon?
And that's all the time we have for the show tonight.
Ah.
That sounds weird. Doesn't that sound totally overmod? What's going on with this? Hey, thanks for listening.
You have the face way.
I know, something's going on. This is the dubstep remix. Thanks, Floyd. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. Have a great hump day, and we will see you on Friday.
Rock up.
And metal. What does it sound like that? It's scaring me.
Hello, this is
Gary Murphy
from
Gary Murphy.
Amazon.com has some amazing deals, and you can help support the TagCast podcast by going to their site, TagCastPodcast.com, and click on your Amazon link on the top of their page.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, all you taggots, you need something to do? Of course you do. You don't want to sit at home like a dick in the mud. Go out and see some shows. As a matter of fact,
I just killed a spider.
Shit, now it's going to rain for 2 weeks. Vinegaroons. Vinegaroon! Wednesday, September 25th, we got the Oak Street Speakeasy Comedy Showcase that happens every final Wednesday of the month. This month, on the 25th, your host, Seth Milstein, will bring in some comics down from Portland in the form of Lonnie Brune and Stephanie Pirtle, formerly from Eugene, Jesse McCoy, also from Portland, and we're going to have Mac Chase and Andy Bradwin, and a couple other comics, I believe, from Portland. It's a $5 suggested donation, but if you're broke, like most of us, it could be free, but it'll help Seth pay for the comics if you just give $5. That's at 9 o'clock. It's 21 and over at the Oak Street Speakeasy in Eugene. Then the next night, another Eugene comedy show at the Granary, usually ran by Seth, but he's out of town. So Carmichael McGee will be hosting the show featuring Andy Bradwin and Bryce Jones and Absolute Improv, which I don't know if that's a troupe or an actual person, but go check that out. Also $5, 9 p.m., 21 and over at the pizza place. Because it's downstairs. So, also, if you're in Portland that night and can't make it to the comedy show, go down to Dante's and check out Jucifer and Dirt Clod Fight with the Ninjas. It's $10 at the door, 9 o'clock, 21 and over at Dante's in Portland. Friday, September 27th at the Green Room Comedy Club in Eugene. We got Ian Carmel from Portland, and your host will be Max Brockman and a couple special guests. It's $6 at the door, 9 p.m., also 21 and over. September 29th, it's a Saturday, we got the Sicktown Derby's 4th Annual Skate Timber Fest at the Linn County Fairgrounds in Albany. We got the Smash Unit versus the Southern Oregon Roller Girls. If you can afford it, go down and check out the Roller Girls. It's $10 in advance, $13 at the door, 5 p.m. all ages. And then later that night, you should head down to the Dixie Creek Saloon and Tangent. Willamette Valley local music scene is putting on a two-band night with The Game Played Right and Tuesday Nights, which is a band. It's on a Saturday. Don't get confused. It's the 29th of September, and it's free. It starts at 9 o'clock, and you got to be 21 to get in. Friday, October 5th, comedy at Into Pizza in Independence with Rico Star, Joe Demio, myself, and our host Jesse Priest, and a couple other comics that will probably be added to the bill before that happens. $5, 9 o'clock, all ages, so bring the kids. The next night is Fall Into Darkness, day two, which is the only one I'm focusing on because that's just the way I am. It's at Bronx in Portland. St. Vitus, Weed Eater, Sour Vein, and I don't know how to pronounce that band, but they're probably pretty cool. F. Firmus. $12 in advance, $17 at the door. And you might think that's a lot, but we're talking St. Vitus and Weed Eater and Sour Vein here, so give it up. Monday, October 8th at the Level Up Arcade in Eugene, another installment of the Kill Screen comedy shows with Seth Milstein. He's bringing in David Huntsberger, which if you Google him, he might give you a dollar. No, to Google him, you'll check him out, and he's a pretty well-established comedian who has a pretty good resume. Andy Mann will be coming down, a girl from Portland who I saw recently. He's very funny. Seth Milstein will be doing a set as well. Josh Finch will be hosting. That's $5, 9 p.m., 21. That should be all the shows. It's just $5, 9 p.m., 21. That's what they all are, except for this one, October 9th at the Red Room in Portland. We got our buddy Crosby Ringer's band, Ion Storm, playing with Toxic Zombie and more. $5, 8 p.m., 21 and over. We got October 12th, the big show at the Wow Hall in Eugene.
Wow.
Tribute bands Maiden Northwest and Sick Man, paying tribute to Iron Maiden and Alice in Chains, respectively. I will be opening the show with an acoustic interpretation of some hard rock and heavy metal songs that I've been getting requests for. That's going to be $7 in advance, 8 p.m. Friday, October 12th, all ages as well. And October 14th, I'll be telling jokes at the Ash Street Saloon in Portland for the Down and Dirty Comedy Showcase with your host Patrick Perkins and a whole slew of other Portland comedians. And last but not least, don't forget Napalm Death at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland, November 11th. Get your tickets for that now because it might sell out and you don't want to miss those chaps. They're not assless. Thanks for listening to the comedy and rock and roll entertainment calendar. Go see some shows, you guys. I mean, it's the least you could do. Don't sit at home and be a stick in the mud. But rock on.
www.tagcastpodcast.com.
Boopity boop.
Tagcast Podcast, Tagcast Podcast, Tagcastpodcast.com.